Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the blood of a humble lamb. Do you think Christ knows how to handle your life better than you know how to handle your life? Oh, I wonder if God, yes. Does he want us to all be heavy and down in the dump? No, no, no. He wants to bless us with blessings that are eternal and valuable. You save your life, you lose it, you give your life to the will of God, the purpose of God, you find it.
The truth is, humility is at the heart of kingdom living. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins a message called The Entrance to the Kingdom and explores proven truth that pride can keep you from accepting Jesus' gift of salvation. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Entrance to the Kingdom.
We're going to look at Mark chapter 14, the last Passover Jesus experienced, the last time he went in Jerusalem prior to crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. Mark 14, 12, on the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples came to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Verse 22, while they were eating, he took some bread, this is Jesus, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." In verse 25, truly, remember that's the word amen. That's the word standing attention. Something's fixing to be said. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Then Jesus said, "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away," Peter said, "maybe everybody will deny you and everybody will run you." But he said, "I will not fall away." And then in the last verse of this section, the other apostle said, "Though all will run away from you, we will always be with you, even if it cost our life." Let's prepare for the teaching of the book. Father, we can't come to church flat-footed or just cold and indifferent, but Lord, we come before you now passionately, with hunger in our minds for true truth. Touch deep recesses of our lives. Stir within us as we're convicted by the Holy Spirit. A new walk, a new relationship, as we count ourselves privileged to be in your family. Lord, you speak. Let me get out of the way is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen. Several passages of Scripture always attract me, and one particularly you find in Mark chapter number 10. This is at the, I guess, the pinnacle of Jesus' earthly popularity. When he was speaking and teaching and healing, primarily successful in Galilee, and there was whispered among the crowd, Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Is he the Messiah? The Messiah. The Messiah is God. Messiah, Messiah. And they questioned him about it, and he kept all of that in a minor key, never clearly answering until that wonderful triumphant procession on Palm Sunday. Riding on that donkey, he fulfilled prophecy of Zechariah, and they said, this is indeed Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. But prior to this, and right in this same area of popularity, James and John went to Jesus, the Bible tells us, and says, we see you're coming into your kingdom, and we've been with you from the beginning. We paid a price, and I want to sit on your right hand, and I want to sit on your left hand. So we have James and John with their pride saying, when you come to your kingdom, I want to be at least vice president or secretary of state. Pride. To underscore that, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that they sent their mother. Oh, yeah. And so mom went to Jesus and said, you know, my boys are super. When you come in your kingdom, can't they have prominent positions? Can we count on that? Just like a mom, isn't it? Just like a mom. Remember how Jesus answered that? He said, I can't give away positions. He said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to become a servant of all. Greatness comes through service. And they didn't get that, evidently, because you read in John chapter number 13 that here, getting ready for the last Passover, that they're all seated around the table, and Jesus evidently was looking at everybody's feet and said, nobody washed their feet. It's like my mother. All of my life, when I was a boy, we'd sit down to eat. She'd say, Edwin, did you wash your hands? It was a requirement in our family. Jesus looked at their feet and said, nobody's washed your feet. So Jesus, without saying a word, gets a basin and pours water in it. He gets a towel over his arm. He starts to wash the feet of all the apostles. Kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Jesus, divine power, with a towel over his arm. Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Divine power with a towel over his arm, washing feet. How many of you have ever been into a worship service in which feet were washed? Would you lift your hand? You've ever had that experience? Few of us, few of us. You know the hardest thing about it? It's not washing somebody's feet. You know, there's a sort of humility and pride when I sit down and I wash somebody's feet. You know, I'm such a humble servant doing it. The tough thing is letting your feet be washed. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It is letting your feet be washed, to be served in such a modest, almost demeaning way. Jesus washed their feet. He came to Peter, always the egotist. Peter said, oh, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of my kingdom. He said, then give me a bath. And Jesus, Jesus said, the feet will be sufficient for you, Peter. So we see ego, pride. Well, we don't feel too badly about James and John, even their mother, trying to get prominent positions for her children and for themselves, because all of us have that in us. Even though we may be very introverted or extroverted, there's something in everybody. There is that drive that we all want to be a drum major. I think everybody ought to once in a while put on a drum major suit and get those big old boots and get that long rabbit hat and maybe a baton and just march around and be a drum major. It's built in us. You know, I want to be something. I want to be significant. I want to have praise. And we love praise unless it's given to our successor or our predecessor in excess. Now, if you love seeing your successor or your predecessor praised, you're an authority on sanctification. Oh, yeah. We like it. We like it even when we know it's not true. It's built in us, that drum major instinct, and you see it all the way through the Bible. Jesus sat down to lead in the Passover meal. Let me remind everybody of the tradition of Passover. The Jews celebrated every year. They have since they were slaves in Egypt, and they were liberated from Egypt. And that's when you know the lamb was killed in every family. They put blood on the doorpost, and anyone who had blood on their doorpost, they were saved from the judging angel, which would smite every firstborn male, every firstborn female, every firstborn Jew, every firstborn Egyptian, every firstborn animal, every firstborn, all would be slaughtered unless there was the blood applied, the blood of the lamb. And so every year we read the story about it in Exodus chapter 6 and Exodus chapter 12, the Jews would gather together with their family and they would remember the Passover meal and they would eat the meal that they had eaten the last night of slavery. And that meal had many components and many parts. It was so the Jews would never forget what happened on that night. And so the youngest would ask, what is so special about this night? And then they would have the meal. And there were a lot of components, but three major components in the meal. There was bread, unleavened bread. There was the cup of wine. And there was the lamb that was slain. That was the main part of the meal. And so it was symbolical. And we'll read about it in Exodus chapter 12. The symbol of the bread, it was unleavened bread always. The family would sit down, there would be unleavened bread. Why unleavened bread? Because they were in a hurry. When they prepared this final meal in Egypt, they didn't have time for the leaven to take place in the bread so it would rise, so it would be flat bread, unleavened bread. And that was a symbol of the suffering the Jews experienced there in their years of slavery in Egypt, and even their years of wandering around those 40 years in Sinai before they went in the promised land. You see, it just took a few weeks for them to be out of Egypt, to cross the Red Sea with the hand of God following the plagues of judgment administered by Moses on behalf of God. That just took a few weeks or so, but it took them 40 years, a little while to get out of slavery, but 40 years to get slavery out of them. See the difference? They still had a slave mentality, though they were free. That happens to us as Christians, but that's another day. And so they remembered this. And so they would serve the bread around the table for the family. And it would be a symbol of the suffering they'd experienced there in that historical days of being in Egypt and in Sinai. And then they would pass around the cup. They would take wine, they'd pour water in it, very weak wine, and they'd pass it around some six times. And as they pass it around, they'd remember the promises that God gave them in Exodus chapter number 6, in Exodus chapter 12. God said, I will get you out. I will deliver you. I will make you my people, and I will always be a blessing to you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And so they were liberated. So that as they passed the wine around, it would be red, remembering the blood that was shed from the lamb, the sacrifice that was offered to God, and they would do that. But I want you to notice something. Jesus changed what was said in the Passover. He changed what was said. Now, this had been said for 100 and 100 of years. He changed what was said. Now, you read in chapter 12 of Exodus, God says, don't change anything about the Passover every year, annually. Sit down with your family and remember the days when you were set free. Don't change a word. Jesus changed. He changed the word. He said, this is my body. Oh, that's not a part of Passover. This is my blood, your blood. No, the blood of the Lamb. If a commander-in-chief gives an order, those orders are followed. Somebody down the line can't say, well, you know, I don't believe we're going to attack tomorrow. We're going to wait till Thursday. Or be like so many times Joe Beth would say, you know, I need to go on a diet, but let's begin Monday. We've had so many Monday diets, I can't even tell you about it. You know, that's the way we are. We're all like that. It's going to be. But if a commander-in-chief gives an order, it is followed through right down the line. And Jesus changed the order, changed what was said. What does this mean? It means he would say, I am the only one who can change the order. Who can change the order? The commander-in-chief? The commander-in-chief. It was a claim of Jesus to be divine. Some years ago, I was sitting by a lady on a plane, and tragically, she found out what I did. I try to be a Christian sometimes, just independent of all the other trappings that comes with my particular vocation. And in the conversation, she said, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus claim to be God. I sort of smiled and walked her through some scripture. But you know, the truth is, everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said, properly understood, was a claim to be God. Everything. And particularly with the triumphant entry in Jerusalem, it was very open. And in this particular passage, he changed what God said. Man, stay with the methodology, the words of the Passover. And he changed it because he would say, I'm the commander of the chief, and the commander in chief can change. It was a claim of divinity. Tremendous claim. And so we see this is written into this scripture. He changed what was said. He also changed what was served. It, rightly understood, this is a staggering verse of scripture. Jesus is leading. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. He fulfilled the old covenant and he established the new covenant in his blood. He changed what was said and he changed what was served. Because then it says, they sang a hymn and went out. Where's the main course? Man, they would leave hungry. Where's the main course here? What was the main course? It was a lamb. No lamb was served. They sang a hymn, went out. The apostle must have said, what in the world is going on? He changed what was said. And now he hadn't even, the lamb was not on the table. You know why? The lamb was at the table. That's why. Jesus, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb was not on the table to be served. Jesus was the Lamb who was at the table. The new covenant, the new contract by his blood. How radical that is. The power of the blood, life in the blood, we're saved by the blood. But you know what? I'm sure there's somebody here who's rather modern and would say, you know, I can't believe that we're still talking about blood. Talking about all like those pagan gods and like the God of the Hebrews who demanded sacrifices and blood to be shed to make a propitiation, that's a theological word, to satisfy God, to give a sacrifice to him like they did in pagan traditions. They had angry gods, man, you've upset this God. You've got to make a great sacrifice. We have incidents like that in history. And right, the king of Greece was going to Troy in battle and sailing on a ship. And the winds were blowing contrary to his direction. So he said, I've got to make a sacrifice to the God of wind. And he sacrificed his daughter, whom he loved so dearly. It was a great sacrifice. So the God of wind would be appeased and change direction so they could go and fight in the battle of Troy. Isn't that interesting? How sad that is. How pagan that is. And someone would say, well, here you are in the 21st century talking about shed blood. Do you mean the God that we have here is angry and blood has to be shed to appease him? Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the true and living God. You see, the difference in all the pagan religions, they said, give up something great, give some great sacrifice to make your peace with God, to get right with God. Here we have in the Bible, God said, oh, yes, there needs to be a sacrifice, but I am providing the sacrifice. See the difference? I am the sacrifice. My son is the sacrifice. The lamb is the sacrifice. Totally, radically different. You say, well, I just want a God who just loves. Let me tell you something. You may have some kind of mythological God that just loves, but the God of the Bible, the real God, is much greater because he demonstrates his love while we were yet sinners. He died for us. See, that's the difference. That's the difference.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Genesis 50:20. And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The best teacher in the world is hunger. The best teacher in the world is cancer. The best teacher in the world is heartache or brokenness. And all too often we tend to coast through life until the bottom falls out. Then we realize that we've been living in the power of our own strength and resources. We realize that we've forgotten the vertical, which is the reality of God. Vertical people are those for whom God is real. Vertical people are those who always look up, stand up, and are perpendicular to the creation. They understand that in the temptation of life, the injustices of life, and even in the exaltation of life, the Lord is always at work. Vertical people look up above, not down and around, because they're focused on the wonderful panorama God provides for those who keep their eyes on Him. Are you a horizontal, flat-line person, or a vertical, upright, straight, looking up to God person? What kind of person are you? If you're really ready for a new adventure in your walk with God, decide today to become a vertical person who seeks God and His perspective in every situation.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with more proven truth on setting aside pride and approaching Christ with humility.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.